Hello, my name is Lawrence Wilson, and welcome back to another video study through the book of Hebrews. I hope you've been following along with us throughout this study of the book of Hebrews, looking at how Jesus is better than whatever else we might want to go to, specifically better than what these Jewish Christians in the first century were trying to go back to. We've already seen how Jesus provides a better revelation of God than the Old Testament prophets, how he provides a better service to us than even the angels, how he was a better servant of God than Moses, and how he has provided a better rest for the people of God than Moses or Joshua could. As we come to the end of chapter 4, we begin to see this concept of Jesus as our great high priest, and the author of Hebrews will go on over the next few chapters to develop this theme of how Jesus is a better high priest. So we left off last week with chapter 4, verse 13, and seeing that no creature is hidden from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Sort of a unsettling ending there that we left off with last week, that everything that we do is open and exposed to the eyes of God Almighty. He is aware of every single thing, but the Hebrews chapter 4 ends off actually on a very encouraging note when we read this in verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we see that in spite of the fact that we know all of our sins and everything that we have done is exposed and open to the eyes of God, but he tells us that we have a great high priest. Now, the Hebrew original authors of this, original readers of this book would have understood everything there is to know about the high priest. It's all laid out in the Old Testament law. The high priest, right, served as a mediator between God and his people. And the high priest's specific function was on one day out of the year, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, he was to go into the most holy place in the tabernacle, inside of the temple once they had the, when they were in their land and they had built a physical temple, right? The high priest would go in once a year and make an atonement sacrifice for the sins of the entire nation. So Jesus is our great high priest now, who he says has passed through the heavens and by his sacrifice has made an atonement for all of the ones who believe in him. And he says, so because of this, remembering that these original Hebrew readers were suffering persecution and were wavering in their faith and their confidence and whether or not they wanted to continue on the path they were on in following Jesus. Let us hold fast our confession. He said, let's not waver. Let's not give up. Let's not go back. We have this great high priest who's made a sacrifice on our behalf, who stands as our mediator between us and God. Let us continue to believe in him because, he says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We don't have a high priest who is different from us, who is unlike us, right? We've already seen earlier in the book of Hebrews that it said Jesus became like his brothers. Jesus became a man like us. But we have a high priest who in every respect has been tempted as we are, but without sin. Right, Jesus has experienced every form of temptation that is possible for human beings to experience. Not every exact temptation, right? Because, you know, technology that we have today was not around when Christ was there. So the temptation to say something snarky about somebody on social media was maybe not that exact temptation, but the temptation to say something snarky to somebody because they were being some kind of way still existed, right? So every type of temptation, Jesus was tempted in all ways that we are, yet he did not sin. So if there's anybody, when we say, but Christ, you just don't understand the pressure that I'm under. You just don't understand how it is. You just don't understand. Like, I've got to. No, he understands. He's been through that temptation and he has overcome that temptation, right? Jesus Christ was tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin. So that we, now that he lived a life perfectly without sin and offered up his life as a perfect sacrifice, then we can with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Of course, this is a reference to God himself, right? Who sits on the throne? God himself. But notice that it is called a throne of grace. When we come there, we find grace, unmerited favor, right? Goodness that God gives to those who do not deserve it. There's nothing in us because we have sinned. There's nothing in us that would merit God's favor, that would earn God's goodness. He gives it freely because of the sacrifice of Christ. We can go to God's throne. And we do this most often in the form of prayer. We take our concerns and our needs and our desires to God. Why? That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Right? So mercy and grace are often put as sort of interchangeable, but they're really different. Right? So grace is being given things that you did not earn. Mercy is not being given the penalty, the punishment that you did earn. So because of the sacrifice of our great high priest, we can obtain mercy from God, and we will find the grace that we need to live effectively for him in the midst of whatever we're struggling with. Now, I doubt that we are dealing with the level of persecution that these Hebrew believers were dealing with when they were first being given this letter to the Hebrews. But whatever struggle we are dealing with that's causing us to waver, that's causing us to fall back into our previous life before Jesus, whatever that is, we can go to God. We can go before the throne because our high priest, Jesus, who sits at the right hand of God, we see that in Hebrews chapter 1, he's sitting at the right hand of God, he understands that struggle. He understands the temptations we're facing. He understands what we're going through. And we, when we go there, because of Christ's sacrifice, and because he understands, we find mercy. Right? That God doesn't give us what we deserve because of the mistakes that we've made. Mercy. And we find grace, strength from God that we did not earn, so that we can be helped in our time of need. So let us continue trusting in the work of Jesus, because our work is not going to accomplish anything. The work of all of the Old Testament priests was not going to accomplish anything. It was to point us to the one who has accomplished, who would accomplish, and who has now accomplished our salvation, who has now made it possible for us to enter the throne of grace. Let us continue to hold our faith in him, knowing full well that he understands. He can sympathize. He can truly, the literal definition of sympathize, to feel with, to suffer with. He can literally sympathize with us. How incredible a thought. And we're going to see in the next few chapters that the author of Hebrews develops this theme further of what it means that Jesus is our high priest. But you'll have to check the next video to see what that's about. I hope that something said today has ministered to your heart and that you feel inspired to share it with others around you. Thank you, and God bless.